All children have the right to protection, the right to survive, to be safe, to belong, to be heard, to receive adequate care, and to grow up in a protective environment. A family is the first line of protection for children. Parents or other caregivers are responsible for building a protective and loving home environment. Schools and communities are responsible for building a safe and child-friendly environment outside the child's home. In the family, school, and community, children should be fully protected so they can survive, grow, learn, and develop to their fullest potential. Millions of children are not fully protected globally. Many of them deal with violence, abuse, neglect, exploitation, exclusion, or discrimination every day. Such violations limit their chances of surviving, growing, developing, and pursuing their dreams. Any child can be vulnerable to violation in many places, including the home. The actual number of children experiencing violation is not easy to determine. It is estimated that about 150 million girls and 73 million boys under 18 experienced forced sexual intercourse and other forms of sexual violence and exploitation. In some communities in Kenya, incest is a norm. Young girls die in silence in the hands of their fathers. A quarterly report from Children's Department in South Coastal Region of Kenya shows approximately 4,000 cases reported. 60% are a result of incest. Neema Munyazi, not her real name, 14 years old in class 5, from Luara village in Kenya, narrates how she nearly lost her life in her father's hands, who defiled her 7 times while her mother was away from their homestead. My father raped me 7 times while my mother was away. Every midnight, he could come in my room, put off the light, pull out my clothes and rape me. Whenever I tried to defend myself, he could hold me tight, and he warned me not to reveal his evil act to anyone. He threatened to beat me to an extent of fainting. Miss Munyazi explained how she was forced to persevere punishments whenever she failed to satisfy her father conjugally. Whenever I failed to cooperate with him, he could wake up early in the morning and start beating me, asking why I did not sleep with him. He used to hold me at the abdomen tight, asking why I don't want to offer my body to him. He was beating me inside the house, but I used to try my best to pull myself outside. She said that her father, who is a witch doctor, threatened to kill her using his magic. He used to say that he's in love with me, and if I can't love him back, then he will kill me using his magic. So, if my mother was away, I should sleep with him, and if I dare telling anybody, he'll kill me with his charms. The minor who was rescued and got her refugee at Simba Children's Home noted that her father accused her of having love affairs with local boys. My father tortured me. If I failed to return home early enough from school, he could say that I was spending time with men. He would force my siblings to tell him where I delayed, and that is the time he will fight me. When my stepmother tried to defend me, he could quarrel with her. She is now challenging Kenyan judiciary to give tough penalties to perpetrators. I want all the perpetrators to be given life sentence, not to come back to the society. Human rights defender Mwanajuma Mohammed condemned the rising cases of gender-based violence, saying, "Castration of GBV culprits can be a solution to gender-based violence in society.
And if possible, they should be castrated for them to leave that immoral behavior. We need more female magistrate and lawyers, since the ones who face gender-based violence mostly are women and girls. We are urging to empower more women to study law so that they'll be in a first position to fight against the gender-based issues."
On her side, Angela Kamau, a community member, emphasized on the strengthening of legal framework by the relevant institutions.
When it comes to the legal framework should actually be put to test and it should work as it is meant, because there are laws that are meant to cater for the women and children and this violence. But however, when we go to the courts, because it's something that is hard to prove, it becomes difficult to follow up on a case like that. So the legal framework should be strengthened as well to enable these cases, when they are taken to court, to now be successful. I think we also need to change the attitudes in Kenya. I've traveled to Rwanda and noticed that women are treated with a very high level of respect. You will never find men catcalling at women. And this has been ingrained in their culture, to respect and take care of women, which we also need to incorporate here in Kenya to protect women and children.
Mwanaisha Hamisi, an officer working for Yasmin Girls Organization, called upon women in Africa to join hands and form a strong task force that will focus on various ways to deal with gender-based violence so that women and young girls can live in a safe environment.
The women in Africa, we should stand up, come up together. I mean, come up with CBOs, come up with group. We go to the social medias, writing books, even printing t-shirts, go to the schools, primary school, educate our girls. And again, the mother or the guardian who is at home, we have girls, we have children. Okay, me, actually I'm fascinated by the way a kid, a 5 to 3 year old, can sit down, tell you about a series on the television, I don't know, the Z-World issue. They say a lot, they can tell you the whole story. Why don't you sit that kid? Tell her about gender-based violence. Tell her about her rights. Tell her about how to protect herself. Because most of these mistakes come from our home. The parents are not involved in their kids. The mother is afraid of talking to the kids, or the mother is too busy. She doesn't have time for the kids. So you'll find that the kids get the information from the social media, from their friends. And so if we women or the mothers, we can take this responsibility of talking to our kids. I think we can also have this thing. We can decide, maybe we go to Tanzania, we see how they are dealing with the gender-based violence cases. We go to Nakuru, we see how they are dealing. So we interchange ideas. By doing this, I think we can curb this issue of gender-based violence, and women will be respected. No girl will be messed up by the parents, because seriously, it is not good.
Selina Githinji, a health officer dealing with gender-based violence at Coast General Hospital, said, "Due to the alarming cases of gender-based violence, the Department of Health formed a community committee to act as watchdog and analyze the causes of GBV in the society." "We have put measures in place at the grassroots level. We formed community committees that act as watchdogs in the society. They can analyze the causes of gender-based violence in the community. These committees are very helpful to us because they make sure victims reach out to health facilities before 72 hours. We also have online platform that involves relevant institutions, ODBP, judiciary, Through that platform, we can easily know where a girl has been defiled. Within few seconds and before 24 hours, victims receive treatment. Coastal Region Director of Federation of Women Lawyers in Kenya, Terry Mongeli, warned women against sympathizing with perpetrators in community, terming the act to stimulate the rising cases of gender-based violence.
I hope
nowadays you don't solve gender-based violence cases locally. Those cases are supposed to be reported to police station and taken to court. I don't blame elders because women do bring their cases to elders. You don't want to go to court because perpetrators are your relatives. Is that not true?
Atutakula, sinu kweli.
And Justin Masha, a manager at Simba Children Home, said men should be involved in women forums to share what stimulate them to do the evil acts.
I will urge the security officers to avoid taking bribes where life of a woman is in danger. If they do this, it will increase the rate of vulnerabilities in women. But at least when they are going to make sure they don't take bribes, at least the cases of vulnerability or gender-based violences are going to be curbed. Also, I will urge, during the time of women forums, may men be consulted, let them be involved or be co-opted in the round tables so that they can discuss things that give out their reasons to bring the gender-based violence. For example, we can see a lot of violences that are happening, but we are just hearing the women talking about whatever happening, but the men are not consulted to share what is happening. What is happening to their lives, why they are taking these very stiff rules or this stiff decision.
In the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations has proclaimed that childhood is entitled to special care and assistance. Convinced that the family, as the fundamental group of society and the natural environment for the growth and well-being of all its members, and particularly children, should be afforded the necessary protection and assistance so that it can fully assume its responsibilities within the community. Recognizing the child for the full and harmonious development of his or her personality should grow up in a family environment, in an atmosphere of happiness, love and understanding, considering that child should be fully prepared to live an individual life in society and brought up in the spirit of ideas proclaimed in the Charter of the United Nations, and in particular in the spirit of peace, dignity, tolerance, freedom, equality, and solidarity. This article is part of AWIM, UNESCO Peace and Security for Women Journalism Program.